So at this moment, it gives me a pleasure to introduce our third and final speaker, Dr. Jacques Ayre from the Hôtel Dieu de France and USG.
Okay. Continue with the third article. I will be talking about the Bosentan use for sarcoidosis-associated pulmonary hypertension. It's an article, a double-blind, placebo-controlled randomized trial in the CHEST journal in 2014. Just to put things in perspective, in the new WHO classification of pulmonary hypertension, we have five groups, the fifth one representing pulmonary hypertension secondary to sarcoidosis. The first one, which is the equivalent of idiopathic pulmonary hypertension previously, is the one that usually has those options in advanced therapy when it comes to ambotensin receptor inhibitors, guanylate cyclase inhibitors, and all those categories of drugs. So the idea was, can we translate this gained pulmonary function or clinical advantages to the group 5? So this is an article tackling a therapeutic approach to pulmonary hypertension and sarcoidosis. It is, as I said, a randomized controlled trial that is double-blind and multicenter. The population studied is from 18 to 90 years old. We have 43 patients that were enrolled in study over a four-year period ending in September 2011. All diagnosed with sarcoidosis and having pulmonary hypertension as per RIDE-CAT, i.e., pulmonary arterial pressure of more than 25, done within the previous 6 months of the beginning of the study. Other inclusion criteria, we have pulmonary artery occlusion pressure of less than 15, NIHA classification 2 or 3, 6-minute walking distance of 100 to 500 meters, and all the patients were on stable immunotherapy for sarcoidosis, including corticotherapy, methotrexate, AZA, etc., for the prior 3 months of the first dose of Bosentan that was given. Okay. The exclusion criteria were therapy for pulmonary hypertension in the previous 28 days. They made an exception for calcium channel blockers here, being taken for more than 1 month, of course, in a stable disease patient. Severe obstructive disease with a ratio of less than 35%, NIHA classification of 4, pregnant or breastfeeding patients, severe LV dysfunction with less than 35% or a cardiac index of less than 2 liters. Moreover, we have significant liver dysfunction due to another pathology. Severe organ failure affecting the survival of the patient that we are going to follow over the next 3 to 4 months. And those who cannot perform the 6-minute walking test. The study followed randomization via block randomization, which was performed on a population to receive either the drug or placebo in a 2-to-1 ratio. The Bosentan was given at a dose of 62.5 milligram BID for 1 month. Then we jumped up to 125 BID for the rest of the trial. The primary endpoint of the study is predefined as a change in the pulmonary artery mean pressure after 16 weeks of treatment, 4 months of Bosentan or placebo treatment. So we started off with 43 patients. As we see, the population is not that big. After losing 4 of them, 2 with failure to consent and 2 with screening failures, we ended up with 39 patients, with 35 of them finishing the 16-week trial of Bosentan versus placebo. So if we look at the numbers we are getting from the hemodynamic values from the right catheter that the patients had, I just want to note first that there is a difference in the systolic pulmonary pressure that we started off from. This difference is it is statistically different between the baseline for placebo versus Bosentan, but the studied values, which are the mean pulmonary artery pressure and the pulmonary vascular resistance, there was no difference between the two groups. So for the results, we can see that there is a statistical difference, a drop in mean arterial pulmonary artery pressure, systolic pulmonary artery pressure, and pulmonary vascular resistance in the Bosentan group from baseline and after 16 weeks of treatment. For the secondary endpoints, unfortunately, there was no statistical difference whether it pertaining to the 6-minute walking distance or test, the forced vital capacity, or the quality of life measures that were studied. So, of course, the clinical trial was randomized. It was a restricted block randomization because the population was a small one. As I said, in a 2-to-1 ratio via a computer program, it was, I think, blocks of 6 patients, so 4 plus 2 for the placebo. The groups were similar at the start of randomization, except for, as I said before, systolic pulmonary artery pressure, which was statistically different between the baseline of placebo versus Bosentan. As for the covariance and the different characteristics of the population that had been studied, there was no statistical difference between the age or sex or the NIHA functional classification or the anything at all. All of them were not different. So were the groups treated equally? The authors do state that from the 39 patients randomized, 35 of them completed the 16 weeks. We have ultimately 5 that refused to have a repeat right catheterization after those 16 weeks. 1 who couldn't do the 6-minute walking test because he was knee down amputated. Those ones who did not complete the 16 weeks, they were not included in the statistical analysis of the trial. So overall, this trial did show a statistical difference towards improving the mean pulmonary arterial pressure and the pulmonary vascular resistance readings after having received Bosentan for 16 weeks, with a statistical difference of less than 0.05. The patient studied and settings used are not so different from our own population over here, except I might say for the ethnicity, because in the studied population we had around 56% of black from the black patients, and over here in Lebanon I would think mostly are white. On another matter, the price of treatment of Bosentan is very high over here. I looked it up and I saw that this is the 62.5 milligram box. It's 3.8 million Lebanese dirhams, which is around $2,500, which will suffice you for only the first month of treatment. And then if we jump up to the, when we kick up the dosage, it's $5,000 per month. So it's nearly not given at all. Secondly, we don't forget that this is a PO treatment. We cannot do our usual getting around the CNSS and admitting the patient to the hospital. So those patients are going to end up paying from their own pocket, and then hopefully, which most probably won't happen, try to get their money back. Not to forget that people with insurance, they will reach their limit very fast. So the possible population that may benefit from Bosentan treatment is very narrow, considering the functional status of the patient, the possible side effects of the Bosentan. Here we can say, we did exclude from the population people who have hepatic problems, because we all know that we have one of the non-specific, the specific endothelin receptor inhibitor antagonists who had descriptions of hepatotoxicity leading to increased mortality that was taken off the market in the US. On another matter, people, it is a very potent teratogen, so all the population that has, all the females who are planning to or are at risk of conceiving are also put on birth control, double birth control for you in U.S. standards. So that's it. I would, if taking into consideration all of these problems, I don't think we can apply those findings. Anyway, the findings are more pertaining to numbers, and we did not have any clinical benefits, either pertaining to the quality of life of the patient, the signal quality test. So if you are only treating the numbers, I don't think where this is, this is not enough for us to be happy about the article results.
Thank you, Zad. Before opening the floor to questions, just I want to clarify one detail. Of course, the study was looking at the specific indication for using bosentan or Traclear, which of course is not a recommendation yet, despite the positive signal we found, especially that there was no physiologic benefit except numbers change. But should be an indication to be used, actually, strange enough, in Lebanon, patients can get the medication at the fast-track NSSF coverage of 90% immediate reimbursement. And if they do not have NSSF, they can get 100% coverage from the Ministry of Public Health, and it's available. But should there be an adequate indication for this? Of course, there's no indication or recommendation yet.
So we are talking about the group one here.
No. In general, if somebody needs primary pulmonary hypertension or scleroderma associated pulmonary hypertension, and they require bosentan or Traclear, they can get 90% accelerated reimbursement from NSSF or 100% from Ministry of Health if they satisfy the requirement.
Right.
Now, of course, our patients.
Good to know.
Questions now? Screened and were detected to have pulmonary hypertension, was there additional workup done to eliminate other reasons for pulmonary hypertension and not just to assume this is only sarcoid related? Correct? Were there no other reasons associated with pulmonary hypertension besides the sarcoidosis itself? Yes, very good question.
We have to keep in mind, first of all, that the patients that are studied are diagnosed as sarcoidosis, that's for sure. Secondly, we have the right cath that was done in those patients on a baseline basis and afterwards, which we could see and use for to prove that those patients do not have, for example, heart problems pertaining to the pulmonary hypertension that we had. Secondly, we have also the fact that those patients are considered, they have a functional status of NIHA 2 or 3. So usually, unless it is the attainment of the pulmonary arteries, is unless it's blown out of proportion to the clinical picture that we have, those patients that were more advanced, they were excluded, which are NIHA 4. But other than these, they did not go through more investigations to make sure that we have other pathophysiologies coming into the picture. I don't know if I made myself clear. Yeah?
Well, I think they excluded the notion that we launched
Yeah, yeah. So they use the right cath to be able to exclude those patients with the pulmonary arterial oxygen pressure than less than 15, or including any they were used. And those, we can make sure that the problem is not heart, but I cannot make sure that at the pathophysiological level, we have other reasons like the hypoxemia that he was talking about. Yes, yes. Those were excluded. Yeah, but can we say 100% it excluded everything?
No.
Of course, the problem, as I saw after reading the many articles that are, because there are other articles like the Breathe One trial that did show advantages with the covariance when it comes to 6-minute walking test and all of that. But the problem is always with the number of population. The end number is always low. There's not much high recruitment wise. Of course, ideally, we have a bigger population number and we can study more the covariance and even mortality rates and all of this. We have a mortality benefit and all of that.
Thank you. Thank you, Jacques.
Thank you.
Just to wrap up, of course, you're invited to dinner now. But before I conclude, usually the way we decide, we have 3 speakers from 4 different university programs, and we ask the custodian of the programs as program directors or chair to appoint the speakers. For ESG, I forgot to tell them that there is a minimum height or maximum height. Sorry, guys. Huh?
Yeah, but
you
can
have
a comment.
Thank you guys, it was a pleasure to work with you. Thank you. Please.